Dropout Podcasts.
Everybody, welcome back to the seventh episode of Tales from the Closet. Maybe you're watching this and you are in the closet. Well, we're here to keep you company. Maybe you're outside of the closet, far away, and you don't want to talk about it anymore. Well, too bad. That's all we're going to talk about today. I'm your host, Allie Beardsley. Today we have... Today we have an amazing show. If you're watching this on CH2 on YouTube, know that you could have watched this a week earlier if you subscribed to Dropout. That's right. This is a commercial. For only $4.99 a month, maybe it's more. $5.99. For only $5.99 a month, use promo code Dropout today. No, I'm kidding. There's no promo code. Listen, I've made a mess of this, and it's uneditable. So, no, we have an amazing show. Please follow us on Instagram and please send in questions. Every now and then we will post an anonymous survey and you'll see us answer some of those questions later on today. And so we really appreciate your thoughtful and sweet questions and I love you. Okay. Great. Let's kick this off. Up first, we have Sophia. Introduce yourself. Who are you?
I'm Sophia. I am an artist based in Los Angeles. And my pronouns are she, her, and I identify as gay.
Yes. Yeah. Up next.
Yep.
Hello. My name is John Early. I'm, thank you. I'm a comedian, based in Los Angeles as well. And my pronouns are he, him, and I also identify as gay.
All right.
Next up.
I'm Simone. Also based in Los Angeles. I'm a photographer. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm also gay. So, hey. Yay!
Look at that.
It's crazy.
All four of us.
So crazy.
How did you?
It's crazy. Mm. I sought out to make the show I wish I had when I was young. Mm. And yeah. I don't say that to sound bitter, and I know it can.
Okay.
I mean that in a positive way.
You're screaming right now.
Okay, so to be clear. Like I did have a coffee.
You're not bitter.
I'm not bitter.
No. Yeah.
I'm better. Don't get bitter, get better. All right. So how the show works is we kind of talk. Sometimes I feel like being in the closet can look different for everybody. For me, very conservative religious upbringing in the closet. I've told stories on here about...
I had no idea.
Yeah, you have no idea about that?
Wait, really
were you were religious, right?
Yeah, no.
No.
Me personally somehow managed to not be religious, but my parents were ministers.
Oh my God.
Grew up going to church.
But it's huge.
Well, they're not, they're very, thank God, they're very kind of progressive, like met in divinity school, like in the 70s. Like, they're so not that. But yeah, they thankfully like are not evangelical. I mean, it's fine if you are, I guess. But for me, they're kind of like progressive, kind of lukewarm, like easy breezy Protestantism.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's great.
Thankfully, that kind of ease gave me some space to be like, no.
Yeah,
that's great.
But I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, no, mine was like a very... electric guitar, like conservative. Yeah. Full Britney Spears mic. Yeah. Like, yeah. Mm. And it was just like impossible to be gay. I was just like, this, I can never come out. This will never leave my lips. And yeah, I feel like I've told this story so many times, but
we can have coffee later.
Okay. if you
want. Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I'll table that. but yeah. And the crazy thing is my brother also gay. 100% of my conservative Christian parents' kids, gay.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yep. A gift to you. But yeah, what are some times that you guys felt like, oh, wow, I'm different. I might be gay.
I mean, I feel like from a pretty young age, like from middle school, I didn't feel boy crazy, boy obsessed. I didn't feel as pulled in this direction. Mm-hmm. So I felt this need to kind of like force it and feign interest and like just kind of wanted to hang out with my girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kick it with them. I don't know. It just never felt, it never clicked. Yeah. Really. Mm-hmm. So
I spend a lot of my time thinking that everyone was gay and that only and everyone had like figured it out, like how to like pretend.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, wow. Like all the boy crazy stuff. I like tried that on for like a time in my life.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure. I'll like be like, I'm obsessed with Paul. And it's like, right. I've just taught myself
just
to say that.
Very disingenuous.
Yeah, fully.
I remember being in like a daycare program. Also, my parents are academics, so I literally like experienced no resistance. Like every morning, my mom would be like, "So, are you gay?"
And then I have a similar story, actually.
You know what I mean? And so, but that was my resistance because it was like, "You're trying to make me," you know. And so, and then it took like longer than most of my religious friends, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But like when I was in daycare as a kid, like now I'm like, okay, that was a moment. Like I had this friend named Claire and she had these long thick braids and I would like Claire. Literally during nap time I would like take her braid and put it in my mouth which I think is Claire. Honestly one of the first like gayest things I've ever
absolutely.
Done
yeah. God
I loved her braids
I'm obsessed with that like unadulterated kink that's out there somewhere you know it's like we've all learned it's like and then I have a whip and but it's like what if I could just do anything what would I do would I put a braid in my mouth
probably
the kinkiest shit I ever did was as a kid
same well no
that is what this podcast is about
I mean that's when I knew I was gay or that's when I was like I have a I'm like fully nude like tied up with my best friend like maybe I'm gay
something
oh I'm on God. This dock alone
I have stories.
I'm like humping my best friend in a dress and I'm like something's off
something's amiss
oh my God
hope that helps
begging my neighbor to spank me going I don't know what's wrong with me
I mean like I feel like in middle school too it was always truth or dare like I dare you to like jump into the pool naked
like, the amount of times I pretended to be asleep while like people were drawing on my back just to be like the attention
soft tingle down my spine
that's so funny
makeovers it's just like women surrounding you with like a small brush like brushing your skin and you're like oh my God
you're
I'll
like
makeup.
I'll go I guess I'll do it
sure
oh my gosh
let's see I had something that I what was it I was remembering today, like, because I'm thinking more and more, like, this is a very, like, sexuality-driven podcast, but also in a gender way, I feel very non-binary. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I, we would always be, like, prototypical, like, my brother would get, like, a boy toy for Christmas, and I would get a girl toy, and then we would just, like, secretly trade, because we were like, yes,
that's
thank
amazing.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank
it, like,
God.
Worked out perfectly. Mm-hmm. But, I'm like, what is that? Like, what? I wonder what was happening there. Who? Because my mom's not that binary of a woman, but I think it was just like safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like the default.
It's just our culture, too.
Yeah. I think so, too. Yeah.
Like the literal toy store is like blue, pink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, maybe not now, but yeah.
But honestly, maybe still.
I have no idea.
Thinking of like, because for me, liking, like, I want a basketball was like totally fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then when my brother wanted like a ribbon dancer, do you guys remember those? He wanted one so bad, and
I had
mom,
to make my own.
Oh yes,
out of toilet paper.
I was naked, holding a ribbon dancer, humping my best friend. But then my mom like got one for him, but like hid it in her purse and like passed it off secretly so he could still have it. But still, like, what goes like the shame involved
you
in your mom
it?
Like mafia bossing
slipping
you.
Him ribbon?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy
so
too because like toys are really gendered, but also like they have all these dolls you have to take care of, and like it's instilling very early like this motherhood thing, this like maternal instinct that like young girls should have from the jump, and like boys don't get dolls that pee and need to be I mean everyone had like a
I know
Tamagotchi or whatever but like it's totally...
No, boys get machine guns.
Yeah.
Like, literally. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's horrifying.
It's so crazy.
So scary.
A machine gun or a baby? Like, pick your phallus.
Yeah.
What's it gonna be?
Pick your phallus.
Sorry, it's a Freud joke.
Yeah.
The time is now.
Yeah, do you feel like your parents... When did you come out to your parents? Did they get it? Were they...
I literally...
You guys have the same parents.
We have a...
Yeah, we do? Oh, my God. Yeah. No, then you go.
Well, I mean, like, I feel like my parents... I had a boyfriend in high school, but it was kind of unconvincing. I also just didn't really have him around that much, but, like, mm-hmm. I came out to them my first year of college, so when mm-hmm. I was, like, 18, 19. But similar to what you were saying, it was getting to a point where my parents were just, like, so, mm-hmm. yeah. like... prepping me with these talks of like, you know, like, it's fine, like, whoever it might be, are you seeing anyone? Like, they were just like really mm-hmm. grooming me to just be like, I'm gay, and like mm-hmm. I was just being so overly like, oh no, like, just so avoidant,
yeah,
to mm-hmm. a point where it was becoming kind of ridiculous, mm-hmm. and like, my dad is so awkward about that stuff, but even he was like, yeah, like, he was working at a gay church, actually, like, playing the piano.
And what's
he was
a gay church?
Exactly. Yeah.
He was like texting me pictures of him like marching at gay pride, and here I am like wringing my hands. Aww. Like, oh, I couldn't possibly like tell them anything. So, this is not safe.
Oh my god.
Like, and it was so easy. Anyway.
Well, there's also just like the general resentment that I feel like every queer person wakes up into, of just like, I can't believe I have to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, I was so furious about that. And I'm like you, I was very lucky to have parents who were like hinting, trying to get me, you know, but like, it was just, I was so furious that I even had to do it.
Like, because it's such a straight world, mm-hmm. so you have to come out as other than this, like...
And all the time, repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. True.
Constantly.
And, like, also there's such a... I always had such trouble with, like, the kind of tone of the conversation, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I wasn't... You're not given many examples. I mean, this is why this podcast is so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, I think, end it there. Yeah.
Cut. And credits roll. We've never done credits.
But, like, I didn't have... The only kind of tonal example of coming out is, like, sitting your family down and, like, sobbing and
tearful,
being like,
totally.
Mom, Dad, like, mm-hmm. I love you guys, mm-hmm. and I'm gay. You know, like, mm-hmm. or it's full trauma, you know, or it's like, get out of my house.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Both, by the way, happen, both are valid. It's like,
totally.
But, like, for someone like me, I was, like, actively avoiding the kind of sentimentality of like the South and like religion and like
You're from
Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So like I grew up very resistant to that kind of like schmaltziness and oversimplification and of like feelings, you know, and I turned to like comedy mm-hmm. you know, to give me like another way to be, you know, another way to like think and feel and so the coming out conversation was always so mm-hmm. limiting and not in my language. Mm-hmm. It just, I was like this level of like kind of like that's not me.
Hallmark,
you know,
movie kind of like, it would be so nice if like it had gone down, like, my mom was like, are you dating any boys? And I would have just been like, oh, actually, I'm gay. And she'd be like, oh. You know, it was, like, in a dream world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
No, like, stakes or, like, you know.
I came out last year when I was 29. Mm-hmm. And, but it was, like, a slow process. But I was actually, I started coming out, like, through comedy. Like, because it was like, oh, I'm coming into myself as this comedian and this artist. And I was writing bits that I was like, I'm gay. Like,
amazing.
Writing these like dyke bits. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then I went home to my parents' house and I wasn't even like planning to come out or whatever. Yeah. I was just talking to them and I was in a relationship at the time and I was just like, you know what? You know, they were asking about him and I was like, you know what? I don't even know that that's going to last. And then I was like, and I also don't. And it just started coming, like unfurling.
Wow. That's amazing.
And it was fully like, you know what I mean? Like sobbing. And it, and you know, I like don't have that connection with my parents whatsoever, but it was like a moment like that for us. And then my mom, truly, my parents are actors and they're like, I mean, they do other stuff too, but like at their core, they're actors. Yeah. And they were like, that's really nice, honey. You know, and my mom's like, me too. You know, and I like, fully like takes the stage, you know? And yes. I was like, okay. You know, I was like, this is actually, and then, but I wanted to be supportive, you know, because coming out's hard. So I was like, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my amazing. God.
You're doing great.
Oh,
you
me
know,
too?
Literal.
Oh, my yeah. God, yes.
Literal.
I yeah. can't believe
which
you
is like amazing,
that.
But it was also like,
yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. I don't have 1 minute.
Yeah. Oh, it's still a limelight.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, sometimes like you like for me it was like pure avoidance until I absolutely had to say something, which is how I am in most areas of my life.
The world.
Yeah. It's like I have to be so up against a wall. Like I can't So like it does take some resistance, and it's like sometimes if you grow up with parents who are like, no, whatever you want, it's hard to like define yourself in total openness.
And a friend of mine says that like religion actually accelerates coming out for
you're
a lot
like
of people.
So aware,
yeah, and you're being put, you're being like, no, that you're like,
someone's like, this is wrong,
yeah.
versus like, who knows, you know, you're kind of like floating,
totally,
yeah.
It is really interesting that you guys found a lot of that through like writing and comedy. Mm-hmm. I always feel I get a lot of messages and stuff that are like, I don't know if I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, just even the question of that, like explore that, write about that or something that will help you.
Mm-hmm. I think for me too, I felt like a lot of awkwardness about being queer, particularly in high school, because I didn't have a ton of examples of queer people. Like my like realization experience was like, binge watching The L Word.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
I had this boyfriend, and he had this older sister, Teresa, and she was a dance teacher, and she was always like running marathon, like super fit. And she was gay, and she had like every season of The L Word on DVD. So I would just borrow Teresa's DVDs, and she was just so. Cute.
I love Teresa.
Imagine,
you know, Teresa knew exactly what was happening. She's like, give like, my brother's girlfriend
here,
my L-word
borrow
copies.
These DVDs, girl. Have fun.
Wake up. Yeah.
Exactly. But it was like, I didn't really, that was like kind of my only window into like, I feel like queer is kind of like more of a recent thing. Like, I feel like maybe 10 years ago, like, it was more like, I'm a lesbian.
Totally.
Like, it was all caricatures. Like, yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it was
it
like,
it literally was like queer as folk or the L word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were like the two, that was like the binary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And totally. If you didn't look like that or like feel like that, like West Hollywood gay, you were just kind of like, who am I?
Yeah.
What is this?
And even like those were all kind of on like, what were they on? HBO? Stuff.
Showtime.
They weren't even accessible.
Showtime. Yeah, I didn't.
Can I say that?
I have Showtime. Yeah. Oh.
You just got some sponsor money. We should have totals underneath our faces. Anyway, I was drinking a Sprite and I didn't get those channels. So I had were like these sitcom versions of gay, which was like Home Depot Woman, LOL. Like Jack from Will and Grace.
Right.
I don't think I met like just a sincerely gay person until college, and it it shook me, it shook me.
When I was a kid, it was like I was like Diane Arbus or Rocky Horror or like Robert Mapplethorpe, and I was just like, I don't know
this
if I'm this
so
type
intense.
Of gay.
Yeah.
Like, it's so intense. Yeah. Like, it's just like, whoa, like, okay, I'm straight. I'm straight.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like bondage leather gay as your first example. That's kind of how I felt. Like, when I first moved to LA, I was like, okay, I need to go to a gay bar. You know, I've seen the TV shows. I need to be sitting at the gay bar with a beer in my hand, like this, and I'm gonna meet someone I love, you know. And it's like, no, and it's just booming club music and you're like, okay, I'm here alone.
When's
like,
it gonna happen? I hear y'all.
Where did you guys go out when you came out much? Or did you go the club route or did you go the political gay route? Did you go
that's when you got into politics.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you. That's when I started running for office.
Yeah. We all know gay is a gateway to political.
I'm still running. I didn't go out enough. I do kind of mourn. Like part of my childhood, my upbringing was about being, like, good. You know, like, about being like safe and good. I'm not gonna make any waves, you know? And that was what was hard about coming out for me, was I felt like coming out did create like a huge wave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though my parents were ultimately angels about it, and thank God, I was very lucky in that regard. But I unfortunately, like, I don't know. I never, there is always, and I know we like, I've peeked at the questions, okay? I know we have a question about like the delayed adolescence thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I feel it's like I'm still working through this kind of like anger of like, you know, I feel like I still deserve a kind of like wild exploratory time.
Totally.
Same.
You know?
Totally.
That like comes in little like bursts, but like I still haven't done it or something.
Totally. Yeah. The question in question is, let's see, did someone write their name? No, this is an anonymous question. Something I have been dealing with is the arrested development thing or suspended gay adolescence. Living out the rebellious teen years I didn't really get to have when I was in the closet. I'm at the age where a lot of my straight friends want stability and commitment, but I still just want to hook up in the backseat of a car, so I feel a bit of disconnect from other people my age. Have you experienced anything like this? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would agree.
Totally.
There's like this kind of like, I don't know, like high school, like, oh, I just had a bunch of weird sex or something that I feel like I missed out on.
Yeah. Hmm.
Not ever having gotten to kiss someone I wanted to kiss until I was like 24 or, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like for me, I mean, I had those weird experiences in high school, but like with a guy.
Same.
So it just didn't really resonate in the same way. And then when I did come out at 19, I had a girlfriend, but then I was like single for a year, and that year could have been so cool.
Yeah.
But that year was not that cool because I was like feeling kind of awkward about it still.
Mm-hmm.
I also like think it's super funny because I had an OkCupid profile and I was going on all these dates. And like there was interest. There was like mutually expressed interest, but I was like cock blocking myself.
Oh, same. Yeah.
So I just like they kept turning into like, you're my best friend.
Yeah.
It could have been something
like,
cute.
Let's do this.
It could have been something fun. And like I kept like, my confidence was not there, so I would just like go on these dates and like kind of sabotage it and like put it in a very like distinctively friend zone-y space. So I wasn't having those like wilds. I wish I had. I wish I'd been like, oh, let's do this.
You. I feel like I missed a really like important opportunity in my life to, and it's not my fault. It is the culture at large. I missed a really incredible opportunity to normalize desire, to normalize like gay desire, queer desire, and to normalize being desired.
Totally.
And like, I still feel angry about that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, I also one thing I did to try to be like, so much of my early kind of identity, and I don't mean my last name. I mean like
my early identity.
My brand.
Yeah.
My the identity of my youth was like built on this like what I didn't realize then was a kind of gay shame, which was like I actually I'm not kind of clubbing gay. I'm not you know, I'm not that kind of gay. I actually just like weirdly want kids. You know, I weirdly want just kind of cozy home,
cozy
domestic, like
fireplace.
And you know, part of that is authentic. I do love like cooking. Sophia knows this about me. You know, I do love like kind of domestic fantasy too. But and like, and I embrace that and own it. But then another part of me knows that like the origins of that is from kind of needing to be a non-threatening gay person.
Like kind of neutering yourself almost and just being very like
to be like
unsafe.
Perceived
in a certain
And to be like, I actually like, I want like, there's something so sinister that I've kind of realized about that, this like desire for kids. It's like, it wasn't organic. It was like, it was a way of, it's like, I'm like, I'm realizing like the origins of that are like, literally the subtext is like, I'm not a pedophile.
You want to conform.
You know what I mean? Like, because of the myth that, you know, gay people are pedophiles. It's like,
especially in religion.
It's
very, it's like sexual deviation.
It's like, no, I actually have a very pure relationship to children. I want to teach, and I ultimately want kids myself. Thank you. You know, like, it's like, and kind of in recent years, kind of waking up to that and be like, oh my God. And then being like, and then I missed all these opportunities to like in the kind of sweet spot where you're kind of young and dumb yeah. enough. Yeah. And I mean that like, with, yeah. you know, it's like, I know that it's not as like maybe neat as I'm making it yeah. out to seem, but like,
yeah.
But I, there is a really like incredible, it's first of all, it's never too late.
And it's like, never too late.
It's never too late.
Yeah. 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 I just want to speak to that idea
yes,
of like arrested development because time is just like heteronormative in general.
Yes.
And
yes.
just the idea that like we're going in one direction is like completely absurd. And it's yeah. just like, no, we're like constantly going back to like relive the childhood, to like explore the childhood we never had, to explore yeah. the adolescence we never had. And there's nothing like really hinged on that. Except I gotta freeze my eggs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like,
yeah.
like you can do that at any time. And yeah. I just think like fucking in the back seat, sorry, having sex
you
in the back
curse.
Seat,
you
okay,
yeah.
is like not adult. Like I
totally.
Think that's so hot and like so,
so
needed.
Cool.
And like unfortunately, and like if you're in a marriage and you're not doing that, like I'm sorry for you. Or you know what I mean? Like that
yeah.
truly should be like part of the underpinnings of like your strong marriage. And
yeah,
yeah. yeah
absolutely.
I just think it's just like go there whenever you need to. And I
exactly.
really relate to that idea of like the desire, like still, I'm still getting comfortable, of course, with the idea of like desiring and being desired.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like in a queer way. And I had an extremely rebellious adolescence, like
yeah.
full of drugs and like insanity, but like with boys, you know?
Yeah.
yeah.
And it was just like, ew, you know?
yeah. yeah, yeah. Totally.
So I don't really want to like rebel or have this like crazy time, but I do want to sit in that like desire.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
I don't mean to romance, or I did mean to romanticize like kind of youthful like wildness,
yeah.
whatever. But
mm-hmm.
like it that is something I keep learning mm-hmm. that it's actually, it is pure kind of like false romanticization.
Totally.
It's like it
yeah.
is like you can be as wild as you want whenever you mm-hmm. want.
Totally.
But it's the desire part of it. It's like you like it is like. Ultimately, I think good for human beings mm-hmm. as a species
mm-hmm.
to like
evolving.
At a young, mm-hmm. like kind of like malleable age
mm-hmm.
that it's good to learn at a young age that mm-hmm. it's okay to mm-hmm. like certain people
totally.
And to be desired by them and mm-hmm. that you're, you know, so it's like that is one of the challenges of being
mm-hmm.
queer
mm-hmm.
is like you often get kind of taught the wrong thing.
Yeah, I
totally.
Think we kind of like crave a normalcy too. We're
totally.
Like, oh, I want a like I want to be at home mm-hmm. and I want to like work on that family unit
mm-hmm.
and anything
yeah.
outside of that because being gay already feels fringe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yeah.
like
yeah.
I can't add any more fringe.
You're
to
trying
that.
To get
like,
back to
yeah.
this.
I'm gonna show that
yeah.
I'm one of like the good, upstanding gays.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And like.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be this kind of like model gay that's like, oh, good morning to you, neighbor.
A politician.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Once again,
in
politics.
Yes.
Politician.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
I think this trajectory, though, that like, that's typically kind of heteronormative of like you go through your rebellious high school years, then you get married, then you
yep.
have some kids, and like
yep.
life is figured out is so unrealistic because
mm-hmm.
we're forever, as you were saying, experiencing adolescence and adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
We're forever like, relearning things and gaining confidence and becoming wise
mm-hmm.
and like it's not realistic to like think that you're gonna have everything figured out at a certain point in your
yeah.
life
yes.
and then that's a closed chapter
and that's
totally.
Just another way of like following the flags to like the
exactly.
right life and you can
yeah.
do that and end up completely empty if
yeah.
you spend the time and work on
yeah.
loving yourself and finding your own love
and like and yeah sorry
no please
and I just think it's so important to be an integrated to be like an integrated adult, to keep allowing yourself playtime
yeah.
and experimentation,
yeah.
like God, like that's like my true nightmare. Like being an adult that's like I'm just setting my ways. You know
yeah.
what I
yeah.
mean?
No.
Like no, like
yeah.
please keep
that's
experimenting
yeah.
and
yeah.
go wild.
Absolutely.
You know,
there's
even
no
with
rules.
The picket fence and kids. Honestly,
yes.
you can do
and
that.
That's what I'm learning is like
yeah.
make the picket fence a kink.
Yeah.
Like it's not like maybe I don't work in like a kind of club kink
yeah.
situation. Maybe what I need to do is turn my like full like domestic like turkey ricotta meatball.
Yeah.
Like turn that fantasy into like fucking take the meatball.
Yeah, yeah.
But totally. Isn't that what like being queer is all about? It's
yeah.
about
yeah.
a la carte what works for you.
Catering
and it's not
your
about
life.
Like what is laid in front of you.
Yeah.
It's
like,
the prefix.
Yeah, it's not
exactly.
the prefix, okay? Can't afford that tonight. All right, great. Well, let's move on to our haunted word. It comes with the sound effect. Get ready, baby.
All right.
Our haunted word today is prom.
Prom.
I lied to you guys.
No, but I in post.
Oh, there it is. Faint? Thank you so much.
Faint.
Who did that?
For the viewers at home, there's literally no one in here operating sound.
We are in a banging cans. An empty Halloween Superstore right now. And yeah, this is just the section where we talk about passwords. We've had straight acting. We've had the word tankini. Anything that would just kind of like jolt you.
Yeah.
So today it's prom. Mm-hmm. Did you guys all go to prom?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I went to two proms.
I went to two proms too.
Wow.
Okay.
When did we go together?
No. Oh,
interesting.
I want to hear about your proms. They seem loaded. I'm sorry.
But I only, no.
No.
Only if you want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really kind of a... So, I don't know. So I had this boyfriend in high school. He was a little bit too old to go to prom with me.
Oh,
so,
okay.
He was 38.
Okay. He was 30. He was not 38, but he could not go to prom with me.
Yeah.
So I went with my friends, my shitty friends in high school.
Oof.
I don't know. I mean, it was just a really bad look for me that night. I got very drunk.
Yeah.
I actually, this is extremely embarrassing, I actually blacked out and we had this house party at a friend's place. And in the middle of the night, I got up to use the bathroom and the parents of this friend were home and I lost my way getting back to the couch and I got into my friend's parents' bed.
Oh my god, cutie.
Yes.
That's so
like with them and they were like, hey.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Were they mad?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you spend the night or how?
No,
did,
no. I got back to the couch. Somehow.
Okay, okay.
I don't know what happened. That's all I know.
That's what I'm like. I want to be a parent.
I don't know what happened.
I want
to be such
shit.
A good parent.
I would
in that
be
moment.
Like, I'd be like,
I would be like, oh my god, cutie, literally like
they
carry
were not
you to
cool,
a gorgeous
though.
Bed.
Yeah. They were like those parents who were trying to be cool. They were like, oh, we're cool. We let our kids like drink at the house.
Yeah.
But like, they were not cool.
Yeah.
Very I mean, there is something like sinister ultimately about like,
very sinister.
Let's let the kids like drink at the,
Drink and then go
it's better than like driving around, you know, obviously. But.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just mortifying. It was awful. I was extremely hungover for a full 24 hours.
Yeah. One of those.
It was just a really bad look for me and very embarrassing.
Did
but,
you go? Oh, you didn't go with the date, right? Because you had an old
boyfriend.
Oh,
no. Yeah, he couldn't come.
Yeah.
He was.
He couldn't. He was couldn't not allowed.
Come. He was not allowed. So that was my prom.
Damn. Yeah. I went 2 years in a row, each with a different church friend.
Okay.
Chad 1 year and Cameron the other.
Mm-hmm. Cameron and Chad.
Cameron and Chad.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was a really great, completely sober, fun time. Mm-hmm. I ate chicken Alfredo before and after. And it was very pure.
Chicken Alfredo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
I went 1 year with my best friend, Lindsay, and we like chain smoked. We were like I was like a goth and she was like wearing like her like whatever, like Von Dutch, I don't know, whatever. And like we were like chain smoking and then I was like, literally this is grotesque, but we like went anyway because we thought we were in like ghost world, you know.
Oh my god.
And we like went anyway and then I danced all night with like the only guy who was like basically out at my high school named Jacinto, and he like made my whole night and it was amazing.
Aww.
And we just were like
Jacinto.
We were like fully just like like on the dance floor. It was so hot and fun.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had like very kind of an iconic like gay male prom experience where like I went every year because it was just like I was friends with older girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like I just like got to go and like dance like crazy.
Yeah.
And like
all 4 years?
Literally all 4 years.
Wow.
He wins.
I win.
In the prom.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Like I think, you know, the word was out I could dance.
Mm-hmm.
And
people knew.
People knew at that point. It was so fun. Like dancing was revolutionary for me, as I'm sure it was for you. Like,
oh man,
like just the safety.
It's my language.
It's my language.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like it's kind of my it's non-sexual for me.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. No, I get
like,
it.
And a kind of project for me actually recently has been like to allow sexual energy into dancing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay.
Do you feel like it's sensual though? Because I feel like you're a sensual dancer. Like you're.
Yo,
in your
yes.
body.
Oh, I feel
you're
so
your
in
body,
my body.
But I know what you mean. Like
it's
partnering.
Not transactional.
Right.
Like, it's not like when I'm dancing, it's not about like communicating sexual desire, like in hopes of then like, not that that's what dancing is for everyone, but like
it can
that's,
be,
it can be, especially in like a kind of bar club situation. Yeah. But like dancing for me as a kid, like it was sensual. It was like a safe sensuality.
Yes.
And it was like community and like it was me and my best friends just
aww.
Like, you know. showing
expressing yourselves.
Showing off, yeah, expressing ourselves, showing off our moves for each other, like, and that's what prom was. Prom was like heaven. It was like, it was pure, like, safe, like, friendship,
all
just
love.
Like going all out.
Oh my God.
I love it.
So cute.
It
was so fun.
And that is that, like, those first, like, the experimentation of, like, loving your body. Like, you know what I mean?
Totally,
in that moment. And being like, oh, I'm hot.
What's crazy is the specific denomination of church that I grew up in, dancing wasn't allowed.
I can't with that. That is,
like, a literal footloose. Nazarene.
Where did you grow up again?
I grew up in Southern California.
Okay.
In, like, Temecula area, if you know where that is.
I grew up in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I know, yeah.
Yeah, Riverside County.
Okay.
But so I'm like, when I look back on that, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so like divorced from my body and like moving feels really like foreign. And it took so long to feel like in my body.
You're a good dancer.
Get out of
here.
You
are.
No, I'm not. It takes a lot for me to dance.
Yeah.
You are a good dancer.
Don't do this to me either.
I saw you last week dancing.
On the floor?
It takes, I was writhing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no. I do love to dance now, but having that in my like makeup and in my memories of like, don't dance, we don't have dances.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Thank God my parents similarly were pretty lax. And so it was like, I still got to go to school dances, even though like no one else in our church was supposed to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is insane.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That's really crazy. I'm just like, that is depriving someone of like
expression
most,
and
oh yeah, of like honestly,
I
like
can't.
That's like a cardinal sin.
That's like so like talk about a major red flag. Like,
yeah.
It's so innocent.
It's
like you were, it's just movement. It's just fun.
It's just like, I'm trapped in this vessel for God knows how long.
let me
dance. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're not even allowing me to like look at my body and go, you know,
Well, I have this like
mind.
Kind of secret fantasy of doing some sort of a like queer prom.
Yeah.
Where like it like countywide, all the queer people can go to this and it's like an all queer. Because prom is so binary, so straight, like corsage and whatever. And I honestly don't know a single person who went with the same sex partner to prom. Because it's just too early for
it's
like our generation, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the kids are doing now, though. I feel
I would
like they're changing
love
it
to
up.
Know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know high schoolers now are just, I see them and I'm like, whoa.
They're so cool.
They're so cool. I'm like, I wish.
I know.
So it fills me with so much hope.
It's
honestly.
So cool.
Gorgeous.
I just taught at MoMA last year. Mm-hmm. Like, I did the teen program and I like taught a bunch of teens. And like, literally, it was like, truly months after I came out, you know what I mean? And I was like hanging out with these teens. I was like, and they were like because they're just so cool and they're so in themselves.
They're so
and
cool.
They're just like, I mean, I have no preference about like my pronouns or whatever. Or and I was just like,
so
what? You know? And like, they're all just like so exploratory and like rooted and grounded. And I was like, I just came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just made me feel like very behind or something, like more than I already was.
Though.
But they were such good teachers for me too.
Yeah.
Like, I was their teacher, but I like learned so much from them.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
My little sister is 18 and she goes to Mills, which is a little women's
college. Mills is so cool.
Tucked up in the Oakland Hills.
I love Mills.
She's, you know, like in this cool little environment, but she's so like, for years now, she's been so cool and like putting me to shame. Like, you know, you should have composted that, Simone.
Like a women's college in Oakland. My God.
I'm like, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm so jealous.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
It's so cool.
We will move on to, with our last time, these questions. We've read a few of them ahead of time. So let's just hop right in.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right.
Hop.
We got this gorgeous one about Arrested Development. Don't shame yourself, okay?
Go for it.
Yeah. Fuck someone in a car today.
Exactly.
In that back
Do it. You're not behind.
There's no behind.
Exactly.
And by the way, those friends who are settled down are like...
Boring.
Absolutely at night are like... jerking off to thoughts of like being in a
car.
Will
be divorced in T-minus 3.5 years.
When you close your eyes and scream silently. Okay, great. Our second question is, how do I stop being too afraid to hold my boyfriend's hand in public? How do I get comfortable with PDA in general? Mm-hmm. I'm not in a conservative city, but I'm still in the South, LMAO.
Man, I feel that. Yeah, my first like... My first, like, real relationship, which was, by the way, very kind of short, but it was, like, monumental. Sophia knows all about it.
Mm.
Sophia like truly coached me out of like insane grief afterward. Truly.
Aww, that's so sweet.
But like that was like the first really it was so important for me because it was the first time I had ever like really let someone like be like tender with me. And then like I felt safe to give the tenderness back, and it was like in our kind of private sphere, we were so like it was so good, like because we really were like in solitude, being like, you know, like, and it was so nice. And then I had such trouble, being tender in public, and like I at that point was fully like a very out, flamboyant comedian. You know what I mean? I was like doing jokes on like television about anal. You know what I mean? So it's like it was such a weird disconnect where I was like Bette Midler to the world. To the world. You guys know me.
We all think that.
You know, it's like I was like so gay, but this this huge part of the kind of gay experience, which is like, you know, desire, attraction, whatever. It's like I felt so disconnected, and I felt terrified. I felt brave as a performer, as an artist, but as a person, I felt very, very scared holding my boyfriend's hand in public, and it was awful. And I think it's just exposure. I don't know if I actually have any advice, but just, that's a totally normal like problem.
I think it is normal. I think you're right. I think it just takes getting used to it and just being like, you know what? Because I felt a similar. So my first girlfriend was first year of college, and I was like really close with like everyone in my dorm, but they were all like very like giving me the side eye because I like when I met them I had a boyfriend, but it was just like never really that convincing. Like they were just kind of like always kind of giving me this like and like so I started dating this girl. And she'd be like, can I come over? And I was always like, oh, let's just go to your place. Because she, like, lived off campus and was, like, a year older. And I would go to her place, and it was, like, this wonderful, like, exploratory, like, just very, like, oh, I feel so, like, tender towards this person. I felt so, like, for the first time, myself. And then we would come back to campus, and I would be so weird about it because I was so afraid that, like, my immediate friend group would abandon me. And I think, too, like, growing up maybe in the closet, I don't know if you guys can relate to, like, feelings of feeling creepy or a feeling... Do you know what I mean?
Totally. At a sleepover, at a pool party.
Predatory. Yeah, because you worry that, like, your friends are suddenly going to be like, oh my God. she has a crush on me.
This is the bachelorette party.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're, like, thinking, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, you're afraid of, like, this perception from other people.
Yeah.
So I really kept it on the low. And then I think what you're saying, like, I agree with. Like, at a certain point, it was, like, easing into the deep end of the pool, like just trying new things, and like eventually I had a lip ring and I was like, fuck.
Totally,
you know, like I'm here and I'm queer. So, you know,
I was at this bachelorette party that Ali mentioned last summer, and it like came out like or it was just like, anyway, I like my sweetie right now, and like and all the girl, like literally, who are like, I work at Amex, what do you do, you know, like I was like, I'm a performance artist, but it was like came out that I had just come out basically, and they were all suddenly like, you know, they were all kind of like, like, should I change in front of you, or like, you know, like literally that was
as
the vibe.
Wow.
And I was just like, I'm not like a hungry, like, I was like, as though I would want to date like
any of you,
visa executive, like from hell, like literally, Stephanie, like say goodnight. You know what I mean? Like, I am not interested in who you are whatsoever.
Yeah, isn't it? It's always the people that it's like laughable that you would be into them that are like, don't
laugh.
Yeah. You know,
laughable.
You're like it's these, like, old men that are like, a gay man tried to touch me. It's like, no, he didn't.
No,
no, he didn't. He was reaching.
That just didn't happen.
You.
Totally. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I want to speak to the PDA thing though, yeah, because I feel like I was repressed for so long, mm-hmm, like in relationships with men too, where I was like, I don't do PDA. You know what I mean? It's like, get off of me. You know, and I was like, no, like we don't even make eye contact in public, honestly. You know? And then like being with queers and just being like, oh, and then truly like not being able to like
stop.
Yeah. And then just the deep pride that I feel like in public where I'm just like, like I don't give a shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, like I will like fuck all you up. Like,
That's what's happened for me was like, I just had to like reframe it a little bit. I had, it was like, I was like, oh, I'm actually proud.
Yeah.
It's like, proud. It's like through PDA, that's where I like actually finally understood the concept of pride. Like I don't know, and if it helps you, like maybe think of like what, how like amazing it is when you see people that are comfortable giving it, when you see queer people on the street like being affectionate, when you see on a plane, on a train, you know, on a plane, on a train,
on a hot air balloon.
Like, you know, it's like, think how like exciting that is to see, and like know that you can like be that for other people.
Yeah, you blaze that trail.
Blaze the trail.
Blaze that queer trail.
Totally.
With your tongue. Blaze that trail with your tongue, honey. I think it honestly, it sounds like if you're coming from a place of like, is this okay? You know, like that's the fear when you're out in public. You're like, is this okay? And you're worrying too much about what other people will say. And I feel like you're able to be so intimate when it's just the two of you, because I had the same thing, because I'm like learning that it's okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it just takes a little bit more time of like fostering that. Give yourself space.
That's so
and time
true.
Yeah.
To where you know it's okay, and now it doesn't
matter.
That's so
true.
You know,
totally.
That the
I mean, if you're scared, like it's no,
that's
you
okay.
shouldn't push yourself.
Yeah,
it's
there's
okay
no
too,
like
you
in
know?
5 weeks you'll be holding hands.
Step
you know?
Two.
Yeah. Like, yeah, totally.
I mean, if it is your first queer relationship, that's so accurate, because you're like in this space where you're like, oh, like I'm finally like acting on these things that I've like wanted to. I've felt this way for a while, and I'm finally like, I found this connection with someone.
And you're so starved. So you're like, I'm making out in private. Like, that's enough for me.
Yeah, you're like, that's what I needed. I got my dose. I got my queer vitamin.
Yeah.
But
there's always sometimes part of me that's like, oh, yeah, like, oh, is that guy following us? Or like, or like, oh, yeah, we just got to look. And but then I'm just kind of like, and what? You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I like my fierce Aries moon comes out, and I'm just like, and what? Like,
and what?
You know?
Totally.
What did you just say? You know, or whatever it is.
Oh my God, I know. I'm like in a stage right now with like my boyfriend where it's like, I am like on trains and stuff. I'm like, like as people come in, I'm like,
I dare you.
What? Literally what? It's the best.
I love it. I love it.
All right, great.
There, and I'm 31, so just know that, you know, different
it's
time.
Just a head on the shoulder. It's just like I'm so like, benign and sweet.
And it feels so radical.
It's so benign.
Okay, I run a queer student
alliance.
Thank you. I run a queer student alliance. I can't read. This is where
it
all
was
comes
a tricky
out.
One for me too. I pre-read the cards.
I run a QSA at my high school, but I'm really struggling to find stuff that's fun because my idea of a good time is spending half an hour reading, and that doesn't translate well in a group setting. Please tell me fun ideas or something like that. I hope everyone is happy and healthy. Thanks.
Thank you.
So
sweet. QSA, were you guys in QSA ever?
Are you kidding?
We had a GSA.
No, I was
we
on drugs, like,
okay.
by myself.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, my school...
Oh, sorry. No, my... there's no way I could join the gay student union because, like, are you kidding me? You know, I wasn't there
enough to
be an ally.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
Well, we had a GSA that, like, when I was a freshman, like, the senior started... Like, it was, like, the seniors that I had crushes on.
Yes.
They started it. So, like, my friends and I, like, went, like, and literally not... out of any sort of like activist impulse, like fully just for the crush. And then we like took it over when they graduated again, just to impress them.
Yes.
They were like, we're all graduating, of course. So, like someone, we were like,
we would like to take over. Thank you.
And like, that's amazing. Then they graduated and we like ran the GSA and we're like, fuck.
Yeah. This is a lot of planning.
We were like, so we just started, it would be like during, the meetings were during lunch, like every week. Mm-hmm. And it was just like me and my friends, and we would just talk shit.
Yes.
Like we were, oh, like yeah. We'd be like, okay, so the AIDS walk is this week. And then like, that was like the first week. And then the rest of it was just like, do you want to watch? Like what I would suggest is like, watch movies, watch queer movies.
Oh, yes. Like watch queer movies. I have an amazing
like, watch
list
movies.
Yes. That I will post on my Instagram of like dyke movies.
But I'm a cheerleader. So it's a great one.
I think my God.
We watched that in my QSA.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
I literally just watched that.
It's so solid. Good. Yeah, it is so good. You got to keep it interesting though, because I feel like I've been in two, one GSA, one QSA. My high school GSA was not very memorable.
Mm-hmm.
It was also like a little bit, for the stage I was at, mm-hmm. it was a little bit too like loud for me, because
mm-hmm.
I was kind of testing the waters, and there was like six people in the group, so I attended infrequently.
Yeah, yeah.
My QSA was sometimes cool, like that movie night was cool.
Yeah, movie night for sure.
It was sometimes a little bit dry. I think we could have maybe like bumped up the activities a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like but like it was important though just to have it. And I think like anyone, particularly if you're like on a college campus and someone's like new to coming out, it's like really cool to have like that space.
Totally.
And just to meet people.
Yeah.
And like just know that like you have a space that you can go to.
Yeah, it is enough to just offer community.
It's so important.
Eating, talking, even if you're not directly talking about queer issues, it's like just like that space being open to people.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have like everyone would go around in a circle and talk about their experience, how they identify, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was important. So I'm sure whatever you're doing is already good enough.
Yeah, the space like, enough is great. I think movies are a great one. Probably any like marches or if you find yourself going to, you know, protests or something.
Book
like
club.
That.
This person likes reading.
Yes, book exactly. Club. Don't gay book
club.
Get a cool gay book club.
Keep reading also.
Yeah.
So jealous that you read.
My college, we had like a drag ball every year,
cool.
which was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. So like you can like get all done up together and then like do some kind of contest.
Cute.
It's fun.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And like so that the dance party isn't just like but it's like, you know, a little more entertaining and interactive.
Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last question. The Westboro Baptist Church is planning to protest in my area soon. In your opinion, is it useful to counter-protest a hate group, or should we ignore them / let them fizzle out?
Hmm.
Well, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
There's a great Louis Theroux documentary, this like British hunk investigative journalist who did a really, his like most famous episode, I think, is the Westboro Baptist Church episode where he goes and like hangs out with them for quite a while.
Yeah, I think it's called America's Most Hated Family or something like that is what
it
calls them. Yeah.
And it really does a good job. I don't have an answer for the question, but I feel like you should watch this because it does a really good job of kind of humanizing them, which both can kind of increase maybe the need to like stand up to them, but also might let you kind of see the
feel at least a little like, empathy.
Yeah,
but I think it's important to mention how he like
yes
talks to
yes
them,
he
right?
like
so.
He's very kind of like his what he does kind of in like all of his journalism. He's very kind of just like plays the fool and is kind of flirtatious.
Mm-hmm. I
and
love
like
it.
He's like a charmer,
flirting with them,
and so he makes people feel very safe and they become very forthcoming. But like what he does with this family, especially like the kind of teenage daughters, is he's just kind of like a sweet, charming guy who's like listening to them for the first time.
Oh
ever.
My God.
They've like never had male attention.
Oh my God.
And like, and they're just like, it's so funny and so sweet watching them try to like stick to their like, they're like, you know, gay people are going to hell, but they're like starting like a smile's creeping
oh
up on their
God.
Face. Because
oh
he's like
God.
Right there. They're like, so, like, whoa, you know, and they're like, yeah, no, like abortion's wrong. Like, no, it's like everyone's going to hell. It's just, it's fascinating.
Yes.
And again, I don't know what that means for counter-protesting.
I don't
but
know
like,
what that means at all. Yeah, it's like, these are real humans that are so far off base that I just can't imagine what
they're not,
like.
They don't have a kind of, they're so, their beliefs are actually, what was interesting about it too is like, you learn it's not just like, they don't have populist right-wing beliefs. They have actually kind of super crazy, complicated, like, clunky beliefs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, so they don't, they haven't caught on. Their persistence is what's made them famous. Their science has made them famous. But it's not a big movement.
No. Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's
you
one
know,
family, right?
It's one like family. Truly, and like a few people who go to their church. They're just like, they've become kind of icons, but they don't have a following. So it's like, there is something a little kind of pointless about like the counter protest because they are so cuckoo.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I agree with that. I also think though, like, people like that have probably like never met a gay person.
Fully. Yeah.
Or like have never. I don't know. It's like extremist people like that. I think it's like really emotionally draining and like shitty to have to educate people and be like, you suck. Like, this is why you suck. I'm going to educate you. But also like, and I'm not even sure how effective it would be because I think they are just so crazy.
Totally. Yeah, they're gone.
But it is important, I think, to like shed light on people's ignorance and to call things out for what they are.
I will say though, on the tail of that, they're such a like lightning rod, insane belief, you know, that it's so easy to be like, wow, they're so hateful. Like, how dare they?
Yeah.
And you could spend a lot of energy like trying to counter protest that.
Yeah.
But also maybe just like kind of take a moment and think of the people in your like immediate life
that you
maybe
could spend,
have like fringe beliefs or are kind of in the middle and aren't as tolerant and maybe like call them. I don't know.
Like you would have
spend
more
that same
of an
time
impact.
To like have an actual impact.
That's actually
on the
really
people
smart.
That you know,
that's a good
instead
idea.
Instead of screaming at people who are screaming for an afternoon.
Yeah.
But I do think that there could be like a personal impact to showing up at a kind of at a thing like that where it's like to show up and if your spirit if you really feel like your spirit is moved to show up and you know and you feel safe enough like with numbers or whatever to just be visible like like juxtaposed like against people like that and just be like we're here we're queer. Like that's like literally all
that's
you have to
true.
Say and it could be really healing too to be like just simply like we're here.
Yeah, someone's driving by, they're carrying their own kind of self-hate, and they see these protesters that are like, you're going to hell.
Totally.
Like, AIDS will kill you. Like, they're insane signs.
Yeah.
And then to see the other side of the street has, like, protests with, like, loving signs, I would maybe say.
I mean, I don't know. I just think, like, do it if you feel moved to.
True.
There's no right or wrong. It's like, it's okay if you can't or you don't have the energy or like it seems too scary. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But like, but go if you think that would be powerful for you because there's a lot of power in protest.
Mm-hmm. There is if you can like take back that. I mean, also though, for some people that's like really draining.
Totally.
And like could
deeply.
Be really damaging.
Yeah.
Deeply.
Depending on what you're.
Yeah. It could really be like scary and violent.
Politically already I do feel at my wit's end.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, gah! And so like just even imagining. One, imagining Westboro, like, what do they tour? If they're going to be in their town,
they're on tour.
Are they on tour?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I can't. Yeah.
If you do go, like, process it for yourself afterwards. Bring friends, like, have numbers.
Let us know. Follow us on Instagram. Send me a message of how that went.
Yeah.
Send me a photo so I can weep.
I think everyone has different ways, too, of dealing with stuff like that. I don't think anyone should be made to feel like they're an armchair activist because they like didn't want to show up
or stand next to
some crazy person or like
take care of yourself.
Yeah, they're wrong for, you know, everyone has their way of processing and dealing with this kind of stuff. It's crazy. It's a crazy world. So,
well, I wanted to end this episode a little bit different with book recommendations because we got that question of someone who loves to read. And I feel like I've found so much self-love and about myself in reading books. So do you guys have any book recommendations for the people who watch this show? Maybe a book that you read in high school. I remember I read Middlesex. It was so good. It's about someone who's intersex and just the work with gender. And it's just a really well-written book.
So I think I started that and then like, obviously,
it's
just disappeared.
Yeah, it's huge.
I've
there's a bookmark 30
times.
Pages in
really
somewhere.
Good.
Yeah,
it gets insane at the end. So
yeah, I should finish it.
I mean... a writer that's really close to my heart is Bell Hooks. Her amazing book called Feminism is for Everyone or Everybody is really good. And it's sort of this, like, she starts it being like, I just wished someone would finally write a manual about feminism and no one did. So I guess I'm doing it. And it's like a really just sort of succinct, short book that's like amazing. And it's about, you know, it's like super intersectional and it's a really quick read. So I recommend that. And then her book All About Love too, which really is just like,
you recommended that
when you read that, like, get prepared, you know, because you're reading it and you're like, my whole family love was a lie or whatever. So it's really, it can be really painful and jarring, but it, I think as you grow into your queerness, it's like really useful for how to communicate and love people and love yourself. Audre Lorde, Toni Morrison.
Toni Morrison, all the way.
Yeah, Toni Morrison. It was just her birthday.
I have her Sula tattooed on my
wrist. Oh, hell yeah.
Amazing.
One of my favorites.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally, it's just because I just read them. I like, cannot shake them. But the fucking Elena Ferrante books.
Which one?
The My Brilliant Friend, the four books, the Italian Neapolitan novels or whatever. They're like huge. They just turned into an HBO series.
Oh, cool.
But like, it's like one friendship over a life. Like, it's like over the course of a life. It's in four books. And like, it took me literally 2 years to read the first book. And then once I got to the end of it, I was like, and I read the last three books in like 2 weeks.
Yes. Oh,
and they're
wow.
just like, there's something, I mean, I obviously I know these recommendations don't have to be overtly queer, but like,
no, totally.
There is just like the beauty of like a kind of female friendship, like two women, like over time and like, and the intensity of that and the, I don't know. It's just stunning.
Yeah.
It's really, it's just beautiful writing. And it, to me, it was like, I just needed them to be, to become enchanted with reading again. Like, you, like, cannot put them down.
Oh, that's really great.
And it's also about, like, that. Women who, like, in, like, you know, the 60s are in, like, kind of impoverished Italy are, like, doing everything they can in their own ways to educate themselves to transcend their circumstances.
Ooh.
And it takes on this meta quality as you're reading it where you're just like, I want to read too. I want to learn too. I want to, you know, it's like, it makes you really hungry for knowledge, like in a really, really beautiful way. And that was, I just found them to be just like absolutely stunning. And now I'm like, checking my phone a little bit less because of those books.
Slightly.
Anything by Zadie Smith, anything by Toni Morrison. I love just her their depictions of just like their lead characters and the strength that comes with that. Coming back into, I think, our second question about like coming into, or our first question about coming into like queer adolescence and expressing that, I just started reading Opening Up by Tristan Taramino. That's a good one on just like catering and like designing your relationships and like redefining them. So
cool.
Nice gay read.
Good things about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't read. Yeah. I just started
the non-monogamy like manual.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I think even outside of that, I think like just gay relationships kind of like cater themselves. And I think as a queer person, you have to like find what works for you.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. All right. Well,
cool.
Enjoy reading, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for another week. And we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.